It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
All right, Sandy Rios with you on this Monday, and we're getting off to an incredible start. That was audio from last week. You will remember that the Department of Homeland Security, Kirstjen Nielsen, was in a restaurant when a group of protesters came in and shouted and shouted and shouted until she and her companion had to leave. And since that time, they've been protesting outside of her house on her doorstep, blaring the sounds of children crying at the border and shouting at her, harassing her. Mercilessly. Okay, so since that time, then over the weekend, Pam Bondi, who is the Attorney General of Florida, was at a new documentary that's been released on the life of Mr. Rogers, you know, Won't You Be My Neighbor, Mr. Rogers? And as she exited the movie theater, this is what she got. All right, so that was Pam Bondi's experience of her crime, is that she is a conservative. She's trying to get Florida to join with other states in stopping Obamacare as it stands, as it's written right now, and, of course, the immigration situation. So that's how Pam Bondi was received, but that's not the worst story. By now, most of you have heard about this. They're all bad stories, from my perspective. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, in a restaurant in Virginia. She goes there with her family. As I understand, it's a small place. She had reserved, even though they don't make reservations, she had reserved them in advance. She and her family, I don't know if it was her kids. I don't know what that means exactly. It just has been reported as family. Were sitting there. They had gotten their appetizers. They were starting to eat them when the chef called the owner of the restaurant, who said that Sarah Huckabee Sanders is here and the staff doesn't like it. And so the owner goes down to, it's the Red Hen in a little place in Virginia. And her name is, the owner's name is Sarah Wilkinson. And she did a very long interview with the Washington Post talking about, you know, her righteous decision here. Staff was very upset. So she takes Sarah Huckabee Sanders out on the veranda and asks her, she said, you know, we have standards here and we have to uphold our morals, and so I'm going to ask you to leave. And Sarah basically said, all right, I'll leave. So the family members stood up. They left their appetizers. They offered to pay for their meals. But the owner of the restaurant, Wilkinson, said, oh, no, you know, you don't have to do that. How gracious of her. And so Sarah and her family exited. Then Sarah tweeted, basically, she says, last night I was told by the owner of Red Hen in Lexington, Virginia, to leave because I work for POTUS, meaning the President of the United States, and politely left. Her actions say far more about her than about me. I always do my best to treat people, including those I disagree with, respectfully, and will continue to do so. Could I just say what a class act Sarah Huckabee Sanders is? I mean, she does. Honestly, Sarah does honor to people who call themselves conservatives, but she does more than that. She does honor to God, to Jesus. You can tell by Sarah's bearing And by the way she responds, that she understands who he is and what the calling is, because you don't see Sarah backing off. You know, she does exactly like when I say you're not called to be nice. Sarah's not always nice, but she's polite and respectful, and she speaks the truth, and she treats people with respect, and that's what God would require. Fight, fight, fight. We fight. We fight for what's right, but we do it in the right way, and Sarah examples that. She is Exhibit A, even though that must have been a horrendous situation. Can you imagine? All right, so the owner of the restaurant, Wilkinson, said she would do it again, all over again, because it's about the morality of her restaurant. Turns out that a lot of her employees are gay. We know that because of them weighing in on their Twitter accounts. And so now there are reviews coming in for the restaurant. There are other restaurants, at least two or three, by that same name who are weighing in saying, that wasn't us, that wasn't us. So others on Yelp, in terms of reviews, are entering some really bad reviews for the restaurant. Of course, the people that think it was wonderful are entering. So we have dueling reviews. They're entering their reviews. I find it interesting that the Daily Mail reported this. This is their headline. Sarah Sanders slams owner of restaurant who kicked her out. Do you think that Sarah Sanders slammed her? Not hardly. I mean, she was very gracious. She just said, I always do my best to treat people, including those I disagree with, respectfully, and will continue to do so. She says her actions say far more about her than about me. Well, that's true, isn't it? Does it? I mean, and so for some, the owner's actions, they are giving her accolades. But for others of us, we understand the dangers here. And so Mike Huckabee gave a response. He just weighed in by tweeting bigotry on the menu at Red Hen Restaurant in Lexington, Virginia, or you can ask for the hate plate. And appetizers are small plates for small minds. So that's what happened to Sarah over the weekend. Now, this, please understand, this has repercussions for all of us. You are not, I don't care where you are, how small your town, how insignificant you feel your part in this national drama is. Trust me, this is coming to you. This is how totalitarian societies operate. And if you don't, you know, I know the comparison with Nazism on so many levels is repulsive, and yet the tactics are the same. The brown shirts and how they said, Juden, you know, you can't shop here, no Jews, and how then they eventually made them wear the Star of David so that people could recognize them and that they could not be served. There are things they could not do, they could not participate, and of course we know what the final a solution was on that issue. And trust me, this is the same but different. This is the same but different. In fact, what we hear, what Jimmy Kimmel feeling badly because he touched Donald Trump's hair on a late night show because that humanized Donald Trump? Because he wants to dehumanize Donald Trump? Because then what would we do if we dehumanized him? Like Kathy, the comedian Kathy did, who cut his head off and showed this, you know, not really, but this image of his head that was so lifelike with blood dripping off of it. This is where this is going. You do know that, right? Maxine Waters weighed in on it. She is a leftist, part of the Black Democratic Caucus. I don't know Maxine's total. I used to know, but I have to look this up. Her background, I'm sure she's probably have strong affiliations with socialists, and we might even say communists. I think the Black Caucus is pretty much saturated by people who feel that way. Maxine made her views known on how conservatives should be treated. Let's listen.
You have members of your cabinet that have been booed out of restaurants. Yeah. Who have protesters taking up at their house. Yeah. Who's saying no peace, no sleep. Yeah. No peace, no sleep. And guess what? We're going to win this battle, because while you try and quote the Bible, Jeff Sessions and others, you really don't know the Bible. God is on our side. Yeah. On the side of the children. On the side of what's right. On the side of what's honorable. On the side of understanding that if we can't protect the children, we can't protect anybody. And so, let's stay the course. Let's make sure we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome. anymore, anywhere. We've got to get the children connected to their parents. The children are suffering. We don't know.
All right, so enough about vaccine. You see that you get the point. You'd get the point of it. Now, this includes all of you that are supporting President Trump's policies. This includes every single one of you. If you wear a MAGA hat, you know this. You saw what happened during the conventions, how and during the rallies for President Trump before he was elected, how Trump supporters were attacked physically. This is what's happening. You cannot deny it, and you can't put your head in the sand. Now, how do we respond to this? I have to say the only way to stop this, besides God himself intervening, which he could, and he just might, is to fight back. You have to fight back. I just think you have to. And what do I mean by that? I'm not talking about throwing punches necessarily, although if you have to defend yourself, do that. I'm talking about saying, no, you're not going to treat me this way, facing off. Because most of the left are really cowardly. They get their power by the silence and cowardice of people who are being targeted. So don't do that. You know, stand tall and fight back. In the best way that you can. Watch your language. Don't kill anybody. Don't hurt. But you know what? Unless you're in self-defense. But you need to stand your ground. And we need to stop this. You know, I have to go further because there's more about this. You know, Peter Fonda, we know how he tweeted last week about Melania Trump. This is what he's saying now. We should hack this system, get the addresses of the ICE agents and the Border Patrol agents, and surround their homes in protest. We should find out what schools their children go to and surround the schools in protest. These agents are doing this because they want to do it. They like doing this. And then the word F. This is what law enforcement ICE agents are saying back to him. Law enforcement isn't pleasant, Peter. It isn't a movie where you are constantly being catered to by sycophants and you're pampered, protected, and made to think you're really someone better than the rest of us. You aren't. In Border Patrol officials wrote, "For us, the bad guys and the constant dangers are real. Ask the Tucson agent who was shot last week by illegal immigrants, Peter. Yes, Peter, the bullets were actually real. Do his traumatized children deserve to be terrorized at their schools because he's a Border Patrol agent? What about his wife? Should she be hunted down and terrorized too? What about the children of agents who have been killed in the line of duty, Peter? Should they be terrorized at school as well?" And then he says, Peter Fonda tweets out, "Sounds great. We don't have to take the agents' kids. We only need to surround their schools and scare the blank out of them and worry the blank out of the agents from ICE and Border Patrol agents. We need to scare the blank out of them. Need to make their children worry now." You know, he's the one that said we should rip Barron Trump from his mother's arms and put him in a cage with pedophiles and see if her mother will stand up against the giant blank she's married to. He's calling for protests and for people to harass. I could say more about that, but that's an article. National Border Patrol Council labels Peter Fonda as a domestic terrorist. We'll put that on our Facebook page. Tom Arnold is now jumping in. He wants to target Barron Trump. He's tweeting out that Melania takes him to school. We're going to find them. We're going to go to their private school and make you uncomfortable, he said. We can protest at the White House, too. The burner is turning up. And by the way, Antifa spread a list of ICE agents compiled using LinkedIn and their addresses for over 1,500 immigration and customs enforcement agents. And I want to just tell you that a Border Patrol agent's wife posted an incredible response to this. Her name is Ashley DiBella. Her husband, Juan, is a U.S. Border Patrol agent in Mexico. This is something we will post on our Facebook page because I'm running out of time to tell you this. She says, "People are seeing the horrible stories from media and turning my husband into a monster, a Nazi, a heartless soul, but they've never met him. The cries of the children, the media screams, but what about the cries of my children when they don't see their dad for days because he swings and is gone before they get home from school and asleep when he's awake?" She talks about the dead people he's found and held in his arms. She talks about the way they die when they come across the border. How they're given a rope that they must hold on to while they go across a river, and many can't swim. She talks about the rape of the minors. It's just an incredible account. This is what's happening in our country, and we're going to step up. We cannot be passive. You know what? This week, hopefully, we'll open the phone lines and talk about this and use our collective wisdom to kind of figure out what we should do.
Hi, I'm Will Addison.
And I'm Miki Addison of Aaron the Addisons on Urban Family Talk.
Family is so important to everything. I mean, think about it. Right after God created Adam, he made family by creating Eve as his wife.
We'd like to invite you to the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference this summer. We'll have a full slate of experts to help encourage and equip the body of Christ to fight for the restoration of the family.
Our speakers include Ryan Bomberger of the Radiance Foundation, Dr. Clarence Schuler of Building Lasting Relationships, Abraham Hamilton III, Pastor Bert Harper and his wife Jan, and more.
We'll even be there.
The Marriage, Family, and Life Conference will be Friday and Saturday, August 17th and 18th at Hope Church in Tupelo, Mississippi. Come help us fight back against the enemy's direct attack on marriage and family. That's the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference put on by Urban Family Communications, a division of the American Family Association. You can learn more and register at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Hey, I'm Mac Powell of Third Day. Each of us might have a friend, neighbor, or loved one who struggles with substance abuse, but there is a way out.
Hi, I'm Trieste. After I started doing meth, my life just spiraled out of control. I dropped out of school. I quit both of my jobs just to go get high. I remember looking at myself in the mirror, and I didn't even know who I was. I told my family, I have this horrible drug problem. I have to go to Teen Challenge. Since God came into my life, he took away that darkness and filled me with life.
If you or a loved one, whether a teen or an adult, is ready to end an addiction, Teen Challenge can help. You can call them toll-free at 1-855-END-ADDICTION or visit them online at teenchallengeusa.com. You're listening to American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Blake Bramlett. I graduated in May of 2016, and I graduated with a degree in interdisciplinary studies, focusing in psychology and missions. The professors here at TMU have really impacted my life in more than one way. In the classroom, of course, but really, honestly, what makes the experience at Truett better is that they're mentors to us.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The school district in Brownsburg, Indiana, has an 11-page transgender policy. One of the big rules, teachers must call transgender students by their preferred name and pronoun. But John Kluge, the high school's orchestra director, says that rule violates his deeply held religious beliefs. School administrators had agreed to a compromise, allowing him to address students by their last name. But in February, Mr. Kluge was told he would no longer be allowed to do that. And if he refused to address transgender kids by their preferred names, he would be fired. The 28-year-old school teacher faced a decision. Do you obey God or the government? Mr. Kluge chose to obey God and submitted his resignation papers. Some on the left have accused this good and decent teacher of intolerance. But let's be clear. The only people guilty of intolerance are the educators who threatened and bullied Mr. Kluge. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
We want to tell you a little bit today about Josh. He was brutally tortured, strangled over and over. He was set on fire after death. His last hours was brutal. As everyone's standing up here, none of our kids had a minute to say goodbye. We weren't lucky enough to be separated for 5 days or 10 days. We're separated permanently. Anytime we want to see or be close to our kids, we go to the cemetery because that's where they are. We can never speak to them. We can't Skype with them. And I want to thank you so much in this room for what you're doing to you guys know the permanent separation. It's the media that won't share it with other people. It's permanent. We can never have him back on this earth. Thankfully, I'll see him again in heaven. But I want to thank you, Mr. Trump and Vice President Trump, Vice President Pence, for keeping their commitment to us. It's been ongoing. It continues on. And please understand, there are so many more of us than what you see here that have the same story over and over, drunk driving, killed, over and over, and they don't prosecute or they let go and low bond. They're out in 30 days. It's sad for our country, and it's time to take it back. And I want to thank each and every one of you, law enforcement. You know it. You love it. You want to do your jobs. And thankfully, we have a president who will allow you to do that now. Thank you so much.
That was Laura Wilkerson, she already described what happened to her son, and that was in a press conference on Friday with what they're calling the Angel Moms. The president has worked with them, even on the campaign trail. He brought them onto the platform. They told their stories. You know, you've heard me interview many of these people, parents, dads, and moms, whose children have been killed by illegal immigrants. It's not just a few people. And yet the press will not repeat these stories. The president had the press conference on Friday and highlighted them, and God bless him for doing that. And by the way, on Friday last week, this is out of Washington, D.C., NBC reports that two MS-13 members were charged in the kidnapping and brutal deaths of two teens. They're ages 17 and 14, and they were found buried, and their bodies, you know, all kinds of horrible things done to their bodies, and these two MS-13 members have been charged in the kidnapping and deaths of these teens. And this is like a story that can be told. An MS-13 isn't everywhere, but where they are doing horrible things, especially to other kids. And so this is just part of the story. So when last we spoke, we talked about, at great length, actually, what was happening in the House of Representatives. You will recall the Paul Ryan pretended as though he did not want to talk about, this is an editorial from me. Paul Ryan acted as though, oh no, he didn't want to bring up immigration. No, no, no. And when these liberal Republicans brought up this discharge petition, and they wanted to get, all the Democrats said they would vote for this very bad immigration bill, which would legalize millions. And so they decided, the liberal Democrats, that they'd bring this discharge petition to the floor and force a vote. But of course, Paul Ryan, he was against it. Of course, he's always been for it. Ever since he got into the Congress, he's always been for this. But then he was pretending like he wasn't, because it's a political hot potato, you see. So then the conservatives from the Freedom Caucus got into the mix. And there's been a fight, unbelievable fight. And honestly, at this point, once again, the American people who are fighting this nonsense have dodged a bullet, it seems to me. So the discharge petition was stopped because Speaker Ryan agreed to vote on two bills, and one was a palatable bill by Bob Goodlatte. It failed on Friday, didn't get the vote, so Thursday. So then that's not a surprise. It was the radical Republicans are not going to go for a moderate bill like that. So then Speaker Ryan had this great bill, allegedly, according to Steve Scalise, who was whipping it. It was the president's bill, they called it. But it wasn't the president's bill. They claimed it did the things that the president said had to be done, but it didn't. And so Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise, Paul Ryan, all once again working to get these things passed. They did not take a vote on that so-called president's bill. That's a lie, by the way. And so they're supposed to be doing it this week. He pulled it and he said that. So they're going to try to, you know, whip the votes and try to talk people into it and try to get this thing passed. But of course, Paul Ryan doesn't care, right? He's not interested. Just because he has been interested, he's the one, remember, that traveled the country with Luis Gutierrez, the leftist on a scale of Maxine Waters, who wants open borders for immigrants. Paul Ryan traveled around the country with him doing public events to try to push the American people in this direction, because Paul Ryan is funded and carries water for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the crony capitalists. Look, there's nothing wrong with capitalism. Capitalism, if it's honest, is a wonderful system. It unleashes the potential and the entrepreneurship of people everywhere. It allows people to make more if they work more. Not do so well if they don't. Their efforts are rewarded. Capitalism is a great system. It's crony capitalism that has corrupted this country, and that is getting in and controlling legislation, buying votes, not caring about your country. You see, you can be a businessman and still care about your country. Or you can care about your bottom line and not care about your country, which is kind of where we've come to with the Chamber of Commerce types of businesses. So what's happened? Well, interestingly enough, the president weighed in. Now, this was really pulling the rug out from Paul Ryan. I actually love this, to be honest with you. And this is what Donald Trump tweeted, I believe, on Friday. Republicans should stop wasting their time on immigration until after we elect more senators and congressmen, women, in November. Dems are just playing games, have no intention of doing anything to solve this decades-old problem. We can pass great legislation after the red wave. They didn't expect that. And maybe that wasn't the president's bill after all that they're going to be pushing this week, but that's what the president did. It kind of pulled the rug out from under Republican leadership, and I'm grateful for it, I have to tell you. Now, I have a lot of things to tell you on immigration, more things that I think you absolutely need to know. I told you about the president made a great statement on the Angel families, but I'm going to move on to this next bit. You know, General Sessions, because somebody asked me about this, when a person is attorney general, the proper term is general. When you address them, someone said, oh, no, he's not a general, he's attorney. Yes, so I'm just telling you, it is General Sessions. That is the way you refer to him in his current position. So General Sessions was on CBN and did a really good interview. And by the way, we'll put that article on our Facebook page so you can see everything that he said. But he's been roundly ridiculed for using Romans chapter 13, which is a book in the New Testament where it talks about God has established authorities in government and people should obey those authorities because they are ordained by God to create order in society. It says basically even like people who administer the law and keep order when it comes to criminality don't. It says, bear the sword for nothing. In other words, God has given authorities in order to have law and civil society. And the caveat on that, if you understand Scripture, which obviously many people just don't, is that the deal breaker is when laws go against God's law. And then Christians are not obligated to embrace and follow laws that break the essence of God's moral law. And this is not political opinions. This has to be something that's really deeply entrenched in moral law. So we are to follow the law in the society in which we live. That is in Romans 13. So Jeff Sessions was criticized about that. And I want you to hear his own defense of it. Let's listen.
I don't think that was an extreme position that I took. And I directed it not to say that religion requires these laws on immigration. I just simply said to my Christian friends, the United States has laws, and I believe Paul was clear in Romans that we should try to follow the laws of the government of which we are part. Mm-hmm. I believe strongly that it is moral and decent and just for a nation to have a lawful system of immigration.
And then he goes on to say, I'm not aware of a single nation in the world that doesn't have some sort of rules about who can enter and who cannot enter. I believe there is a biblical support for that, too. And David Brody, who was interviewing him, asked if the criticism from Christian brothers and sisters was painful. And he said, it is painful. I am pretty well resolved that we will try to consider the concerns that people have if they're legitimate. I have critics from a lot of different areas. I think our church people are really concerned about children. That's what I'm hearing. I feel it. I think there's a legitimate concern there, and I'm pleased to work with the president to address those concerns. But I do have a responsibility to ensure that within my realm, the laws are faithfully carried out in our country. And if someone thinks the laws are wrong, then they should go to Congress. That was Jeff Sessions. We'll put that. There were other things that he said, and I think you'll want to hear those. He's right about this. And I have not said too much about what happened at the Southern Baptist Convention last week, and I want to, because this is just one part of this that is so egregious to me, where Southern Baptist rank and file are being misled by the current forces that seem to be prevailing in the Southern Baptist Convention, and one of those is on immigration. You know, this big boast that Southern Baptists want to become non-political is really a farce. Because every single resolution, not every single, but the major resolutions, because they pass a lot, just happen to follow the Democratic playbook. So you can say all you want that they want to be non-political. What they don't want to be is affiliated with President Trump and conservatives, certainly with the American Family Association either. I think Russell Moore has been pretty clear about that. It's kind of embarrassing and doesn't get you many interviews in the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times either when you embrace these positions, the ones that we embrace. So Southern Baptists are telling their people that it's inhumane, immoral. They're being fed the propaganda of the left, and it is propaganda. And people are not being taught about what Jeff Sessions just said about Romans 13, that laws are good, and there have to be boundaries, and countries have to protect each other, and if you don't take care of your own, you are worse than an infidel. Those are also scriptural laws that seem to be being neglected. I would go to other issues, but I want to stay with immigration for a second. A poll just came out to show that 54% of likely American voters say illegal alien parents are to blame. They are to blame when their children are separated from them at the U.S.-Mexico border. There's more about that poll, but here's another that you probably saw, the Time magazine rendering of this little sweet girl crying with President Trump looming over her in this picture. Well, you know now, don't you, that that's a completely fake picture. This little girl was not separated from her mother. The reason we know that is because the dad saw the picture. He lives in Central America somewhere. I can't remember that. It's Honduras. And so the dad saw the picture, and he said, she wasn't separated. My wife left without my permission. We have three other children. She left her children. She wanted to she wants to do better financially. And they were not separated. The little girl was just crying because she was hungry and thirsty. And so, of course, the photo is being used as, you know how it's being used. And this is interesting to bring this back to sort of a political situation, which we have to. Politics, there's nothing dirty about politics. It's the way society, Romans 13 is all about politics. Look, a civil society has to operate, and there have to be laws and rules. And that doesn't happen. We're not a theocracy. The church doesn't run things. So we have to have another way of, we are citizens. We are members of the body of Christ, those of you that are Christians. And we have a set of rules and principles that we follow, and they do supersede the laws of the land. But we obey the laws of land as much as they are in conjunction and compatible with the laws of God. But we are also dual citizens. We have a citizenship in this country. This is the country in which we preside. So we have to pay attention to politics. That's the way things run. And we bring salt and light to that as we pay attention. All right, so let me just say, I'll just read this. This is from Eagle Forum. If the compromise amnesty for illegal aliens bill passes, this will not fare well for Republicans in the upcoming November elections. If Democrats gain control of the House, a much more liberal bill without any border security will be inevitable. Republicans would not have been in this situation if we had true conservative leadership in the House. Speaker Ryan, Leader McCarthy, and Whip Scalise have all had a hand in allowing this fight to become so moderate. This is the perfect time to encourage support for Representative Jim Jordan for Speaker. Some of you ask me, how do we get to this? Why is there no pushback? Why aren't people fighting? It's because we have terrible leadership in the Republican Party. The reason I say can anybody say that I criticize Republicans probably more than I criticize Democrats, if that's possible? Because when I say I'm talking about ideological conservatives, some of them Christian, others of them not, just ideologically conservative. We do not have conservative leaders on either side of the aisle. And we need conservative leadership. They are the ones that will hold people's feet to the fire and see that things get done properly, whether it's Russia, immigration, whatever. In fact, this is an amazing story, which I could do a whole show on, but I have to tell you, Judicial Watch just got obtained IRS documents revealing that John McCain, subcommittee staff director, urged the IRS to engage in financially ruinous targeting of conservatives. We knew that. We just didn't have the evidence. But now we have the evidence. Why has nothing been done? Because Paul Ryan and Steve Scalise and Kevin McCarthy and others and Senator McConnell and others in the Senate have been leading. They've done nothing. They've not done their oversight. They've let them off scot-free. That's why we need someone like Jim Jordan as Speaker of the House. No question about it. I've got more to say about what's going on in the ridiculous Republican circles, things that are undermining the things that American people are clamoring for, truth, justice, as they say, and the real American way. But we're going to go take a break, because when we come back, you are going to get really some insights that you might not get anywhere else. Please stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning.
So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. According to the Independent Journal Review, President Trump's approval rating is only 2 percentage points lower than President Obama's at this point in his presidency, and is the same as President Reagan's at this point in his administration. Perhaps reality is setting in that the overhyped midterm big blue wave won't be as big, blue, or near as wavy as they'd hoped. Maybe this explains the sudden faux rage over illegal immigration.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Culture is a product of us being placed in a particular location, and it is God's desire that his light bearers would culture or cultivate a particular area.
Join Abraham Hamilton III as he presents the biblical case for cultural engagement. It's a powerful video resource from the American Family Association's Cultural Institute series.
You and I create the culture of our country.
Visit afastore.net.
Does God exist? Is the Bible true? Does truth exist?
When people say there is no truth, I simply ask them this question. Is that true?
Join us this weekend for Cross Examined with Frank Turek, author of the bestseller, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist.
I actually think it takes more faith not to believe in the truthfulness of the Bible than it does to believe in the Bible.
Cross Examined with apologist Frank Turek, Saturday morning at 9 Central and Sunday afternoon at 4 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, we only go to the Holy Land once a year, and that's in March. Last year, we filled up several months in advance. So if you want to go in March of 2019, it's time to look at the details. You can get a brochure from us at 800-FAMILIES, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your telephone number, or go to twholyland.com, twholyland.com. It's going to be a wonderful time. In Israel, we'll go to the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, the Holy City of Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Masada, the Dead Sea, and on the list goes. If you'd like to go with us in March of 2019, all the information is available at twholyland.com. Order a brochure by calling 800-FAMILIES, option 5.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Whatever one thinks of the immigration issue, it's about to be fundamentally transformed. On Sunday, Mexicans will likely elect as President Andrés Manuel López Obrador, a radical leftist politician universally known by his initials, AMLO. AMLO's socialist economic program and anti-American agenda seem certain to turn a basically friendly nation, albeit a drug and violence-ridden one that enables large numbers of illegal aliens to transit our southern border, into a failed state, like Venezuela, right on the other side of the Rio Grande. AMLO reportedly will also urge Mexicans to engage in mass migration to the United States. Whether just a goal or the predictable result of his disastrous economic and security policies, we are on notice. Lots more illegal aliens are likely headed our way. We need a wall to prevent that from happening. And we need it now. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
More breaking news. The Justice Department and the FBI only partly meeting the deadline set in a subpoena from House Republicans to hand over classified documents on the Russia investigation. After lawmakers threatened to hold officials in contempt of Congress, House Speaker Paul Ryan's office said it finds the request for additional time on the remaining documents reasonable. But House Intel Chairman Devin Nunes firing off a new letter to Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein demanding answers by tomorrow night.
Maria Bartiromo of Fox News, to kind of to tell you what's going on here, there was a deadline of Friday. another deadline for DOJ to turn over information to the House oversight committees responsible to oversee them. They've been stalling for months, and you know that Devin Nunes, head of the House Intelligence Committee, has been fuming about this. So Speaker Ryan weighed in. In fact, you remember that we played a clip of Trey Gowdy talking about how Speaker Ryan met with Rod Rosenstein and others from the Justice Department, and he'd never heard him be so strong and powerful. And there was going to be retribution, maybe censorship, maybe impeachment, if they didn't actually comply. Well, they complied, sort of. They turned in some documents, and Speaker Ryan's response was what you just heard Maria say, was, well, they did most of it. We're really glad they complied, sort of, and we're okay with the next giving them some more time for the rest of it. Devin Nunes, not so much. He gave them till 5 o'clock today. He is furious. You know, I heard an insider tell me that Paul Ryan actually, I'm telling you really inside information here. They actually suggested that maybe because immigration was such a hot topic right now, maybe they wouldn't actually take that hard line that he had allegedly given them in a private meeting. So this is how bad, in case you hadn't gotten the message earlier, the leadership of the House is. So Devin Nunes is saying, not so much and not so fast. We want to know about those informants, and we want to know by today at 5 o'clock. And by the way, one more other tidbit we're learning about what happened. This just broke up yesterday. Sally Moyer, who was called Agent 5 in the Inspector General report, is a registered Democrat. She was rooting for Hillary to win, and I can't read these words. She tweeted, "I am blanked, a blank Trump," when Hillary Clinton didn't win. As FBI's, now remember, that's Sally Moyer who tweeted that. She is FBI's National Security Law Branch Chief. And she told agents investigating Hillary which evidence from her devices they could use and which they couldn't. That's Sally Moyer, Agent 5, registered Democrat, who tweeted blank Trump when he won, Hillary lost. And she's the one who told agents investigating Hillary which evidence from her devices they could use and which they could not. All right, so that's the latest. And 5 o'clock today is the deadline. Sidney Powell has joined me today, and I'm so happy. Sidney is a federal appeals attorney in complex commercial litigation. She served with the Department of Justice for 10 years. She has been the lead counsel for more than 500 appeals in United States Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. She's the author of the best-selling book License to Lie, Exposing Corruption in the Department of Justice. She's a senior fellow at the London Center for Policy Research. And Sydney, I've been following Sydney's coverage of part of this story that was never solved. Let me just give it to you quickly because I want Sydney to be able to talk rather than me. But do you remember right before the election that New York NYPD officers and also FBI agents found tons of Hillary Clinton email on Anthony Weiner's laptop? Remember that? Remember we talked about how those agents and policemen rebelled and said they were going to resign? They demanded that the FBI do something about it. And then it all went quiet. That was right before the election. Well, what happened to that? Well, Sydney Powell's been writing about that, and that's why I've asked her to join us this morning. Sydney, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Sandy. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks. All right, so I'm just going to turn you loose. What really happened when those, was it the NYPD or the FBI or both who discovered those email?
I think it was both. I think the NYPD sort of knew there was a whole lot there, and it was on Anthony Weiner's laptop. They were investigating him for sex crimes. Then the FBI swooped in and took the laptop as soon as they heard about it. They got a warrant for Anthony Weiner's emails, but they didn't realize until they got into it that Hillary Clinton's emails were on there also. All her emails, in fact, the New York case agent who handled it said there were 675,000 on there. He immediately discovered 141,000 and reported that to headquarters. A few hours later, he realized there were 350,000 and reported that to headquarters. Ultimately, he found a total of 700,000. I think 675,000 of them were related to Hillary and all her domain names, including the BlackBerry backups that supposedly they had been looking so hard to find. In fact, Mr. Comey had called those the golden emails because they were so important. They were the ones particularly missing from her early tenure as Secretary of State, which Comey said, you know, would have held the key to finding her intent, which he was so wrongly focused on. Of course, they were focused on intent because they knew already that they were going to say she didn't have any intent to do anything wrong, never mind that wasn't an element of the statute that they were looking at, and Espionage Act violations of this kind are extremely serious, and it involved multiple Espionage Act violations. The emails that had been marked classified could only have been deliberately stripped of their markings. It would have taken multiple people to do that. It would have left cutting room floors absolutely littered with red ink that said classified and top secret and everything else. She even had special access program material on her computer, and I'm guessing that was also sent to Mr. Weiner, the pervert, who eventually was convicted as a sex offender. Another one of the remarkable things was that Comey claimed he didn't know who Anthony Weiner was at the time. That has to be a bald-faced lie. If it's not, it's even worse for Comey, because imagine hearing that a sex pervert in New York has at least 350,000 of Secretary Clinton's emails on his computer and you don't fly into action. It's just incredible. So I think Comey should be looking at multiple false statement charges in a prosecution himself, at the very least, and it's clearly a cover-up. I mean, there's just no other way to look at it.
Sydney, because you know so much about this, and I know less than you, but a little bit more, but most people don't. They're not following this. So let's talk about the timeline now. Do you recall... how many days before the actual election these email were discovered? It was close. I remember that.
Yes, it was a little more than 30 days before the election. And it was the threat by the New York Police Department and concern that the New York case agent was going to, quote, act out, end quote, from the Inspector General's report that prompted Comey to run to Congress eventually to report. I mean, he did this only 8 days before the election, I think, to report that they had found, you know, some new emails. He didn't tell them how many, but yeah.
Even in his language, didn't he like misrepresent? I mean, he really like said, we found some more or something. I mean, sort of that tone.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It was a very vague report of what they had found. And, of course, the people at Quantico who got the laptop to check it out said it took them several days, that there were all kinds of metadata missing that made it very difficult for them to look at what they needed to look at. And then all of a sudden, Peter Strzok claims they worked some sort of computer wizardry and narrowed it down to just 3,000 emails that weren't duplicates, and he and two other agents reviewed those in a matter of 3 days to clear her. I mean, they really do think, as according to one of their text messages, I think between Strzok and Page, that all Trump supporters and the American public in general are uneducated, retarded, stupid, lazy, POF. I mean, to think that anybody would believe this after reading the Inspector General's report is absolutely ridiculous. I've got two articles on it, one called Clinton's Huge Wiener Problem, and the other one's called The FBI Deliberately Ignored Golden Emails, Crucial Abedin Messages, and More. And, you know, I've laid out the evidence that all comes from the Inspector General's report.
Yeah. Sydney, we're going to put those on our Facebook page so people can read them. I'm glad you filled in the blanks on that. They're the two articles that Sydney has written, which brought this to my attention. And I was startled, Sydney, because I've been wondering about that. You know, because I have a lot of sources besides what I read. We knew that there was an explosion about to take place in the New York office. And this included, again, FBI agents who were discovering what they were seeing. And they basically, as I understand it, gave Comey like an ultimatum. And the response was that they did nothing. I think they even sat on it for something like 2 weeks without doing anything, right?
They sat on it for 30 days. Yep. And that's when the New York office threatened to really blow up, I think. Eric Prince reported it to Breitbart, so I linked a Breitbart article in my article where he told us, you know, back when it was happening, what was going on and what all they'd found.
And then Justice Department's response to that is stunning, too, Sydney. What did the Justice Department threaten, those agents and those NYPD?
Right. The Justice Department threatened the New York Police Department with additional prosecution or targeting people in the Eric Gardner case that was over 2 years old. Lynch assigned new prosecutors to it all of a sudden and threatened to indict New York police officers, even some unrelated, if they didn't cancel the press conference they had scheduled.
Sydney, we just have a few minutes left. I'm going to be sorry about that, but I have to ask you quick questions. Help us to understand, as the person with the experience that you have, help the average person to understand why it was so dangerous, so bad, so criminal for Hillary Clinton's email to be on Anthony Weiner's laptop.
Well, it constituted multiple violations of the Espionage Act by her, by Huma, and by Weiner. Each of those is a 10-year term of imprisonment. There were countless of them. On top of that, we already know that President Obama was emailing Mrs. Clinton using an alias. That was her only method of receiving email directly. So you can only imagine how many other high-level government officials were emailing her, too. I would guess that Eric Holder, then Attorney General, was. I would guess that maybe even Bob Mueller, who is both special counsel and was head of the FBI during the Uranium One deal and actually flew uranium sample over to Russia on the FBI jet. I can't imagine that he wasn't in direct communication with Ms. Clinton and may very well have emails to and from her with respect to that. On that laptop, I think it is the mother lode of all things criminal culpability for Mrs. Clinton and a lot of other people, too.
All right, so is this a dead issue? Because people are telling us, you know, I think people feel, if feelings have any merit here, that Mrs. Clinton is going to get away with all of this, that her criminality is a done deal, it's passed. We shouldn't raise this again. Certainly Republican leadership feels this way. What is your opinion on that?
Well, that would be a tragedy for the rule of law. The public is entitled to know the truth, and for someone to commit this level of espionage actions is an outrage. One of my sources tells me that England knew she was doing it, and other countries knew she was doing it, too. I mean, we already know there was an intrusion of her server, and I can't imagine that there weren't intrusions of people that were doing this also, and they never even investigated Anthony Weiner's laptop for intrusion. The case analysts complained about that because the FBI shut that down. Comey shut that down toward the end so he could exonerate her before the election. They didn't search the Huma Abedin's emails at all, even though they knew she was a proxy for Hillary, and people were emailing Huma and telling her to print it out to give it to Hillary. Just one thing after the other. Follow me on Twitter at Sydney Powell, the number one.
Okay, Sydney, it's S-I-D-N-E-Y, Powell, number one. Follow Sydney on Twitter. By the way, her articles we will put on our Facebook page so that you can read and share them. Very important story. Sydney, thank you for your contribution to this very complex but dangerous. I want to ask you one quick question. It has to be quick. Any criminal culpability on the part of Comey and the other FBI leaders who knew about this?
Yes, definitely.
All right. Well, stay tuned. Sydney Powell, thank you so much, Sydney. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.